Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
What's up? And welcome back to another episode of No Ceilings Podcast with your host. Nah, fuck that, with your low, Glasses Malone.
The Irish whiskey.
Very all right. Yeah, I got the, I had to get like a nicer version of it because I got this little thing with short shelves. So they only sell a bottle that looks like a kettle that'll fit in the shelf instead of the regular bottle. But it's better than a regular bottle, so.
Right. So why do you drink Irish whiskey versus like a Scottish whiskey, like a Scotch?
I like both. They're different. Irish whiskey is usually a little bit sweeter, a little lighter. Scotch is a little bit drier. Sometimes a little harsher, a little smokier. The processes are different.
So a bourbon is a whiskey made in Kentucky, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like give me all of the whiskey comparisons. So you have bourbons, which is because it's a whiskey made in Kentucky or Tennessee. Yeah. And then the Scotch is a whiskey made in Scotland.
Yes.
And then you have an Irish whiskey.
Yeah. And then that's you've got Canadian whiskey and I guess Japanese whiskey.
What is Japanese whiskey?
It's just like other whiskeys. It doesn't have
ginseng.
What's that?
It's ginseng. That is definitely not whiskey.
In that case, I'd fire one up.
And what about Canadian whiskey? I seen Sam's Club sells Canadian whiskey.
Yeah, like Crown Royal's Canadian whiskey.
Okay, okay.
Bourbon is like sweeter, but it's kind of harsh. Irish is like sweeter and lighter. And Scotch is the most complex, but it's the driest tasting.
And what the fuck does that mean, that somebody who don't drink when something is dry?
When something is dry, it means it's not sweet.
You drink whiskey? Like, do you drink whiskey at all, Deuce? Is that your shit?
Yeah, you know I do. I don't give a fuck.
Do you? Are you into it that deep?
No.
No.
Just give me some cognac, my nigga. I'm straight.
Oh, by the way, speaking of cognac, the liquor store across the street from me, either some Jamaicans or some Haitians run the joint. They have a pyramid of all-white Hennessy in the store, like 5 feet tall. They've got like 20-some bottles retail. They sell it over the counter.
How much is it? It's in the U.S. now.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if they snuck it off a boat at the port.
That shit ain't even good, though. That shit, man, that shit tastes, it's like you smell alcohol when you fuck with that shit.
Yeah, I never liked it. I just knew it was popular. It's like the Chardonnay of cognac.
Yeah, because it was only overseas. So once it started coming over here,
yeah.
I mean, you know, niggas, all, it was always like this old, oh, nigga, I got the white Hennessy on deck, 175 a bottle type of shit. Like, nigga, get out of here.
Yeah, they got it at like $89. Glasses, I say the Chardonnay of cognac because it's like, I think it's skinless grape.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, that's why it's all white.
Oh, the skin gives it the color. You know, dudes, that there's no difference between brandy and cognac. Only difference is where they made it.
Yeah.
What's the best brandy you ever had?
Shit, nigga, I don't know.
You don't even fuck with brandy, huh?
Nah. I mean, you know what's crazy? Courvoisier remind me of brandy.
Well, remember all kinds
of... I don't know no, like, good brandies. I never seen a good brandy. I guess, like, Ciroc and shit like that. You know, that shit brandy.
Oh, the Ciroc one. It's a French brandy. It's a brandy, which is weird because...
It's a grape vodka.
Huh?
It's American. Grape vodka.
Oh. No, Ciroc makes a French brandy too.
Oh.
Yeah, they make
it. Weird because
it ain't French.
It is French, but it's not made in that region.
There's also Armagnac, which is like cognac, but it's the region next door that has its own brandy vein.
See, that's what it is. So it's really all the same process to make every cognac is a brandy, but they say every cognac. So every cognac is a brandy.
You got to be made in cognac.
Yeah.
You got to be made in cognac.
It's champagne versus sparkling wine, so to speak.
The same shit. Exactly.
Right.
And I just think to myself, like most of the brothers I know never even tried to find a specific brandy because brandy's a better quality of liquor. I mean, I guess it could be, but shit, I'm sure if you made brandy with the same process, it'll be the same shit. But I don't think niggas really try to find a reasonably priced brandy that has the same, you know, character as traditional cognacs like Hennessy. And then every drinker I know actually tell me Hennessy ain't really good like that. It's just kind of like an acquired flavor after you drink it long enough.
You got to, like, my rule of thumb, good, bro. It's got to be like XO or beyond. In the brandy world for it to be good, you know what I mean? If you're not spending 150 plus,
if it's XO, it is smoother.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. You want to know a great cheat? Like, I think Napoleon and E&J brandies, they both have an XO brand. Like XO brandy by E&J is better than like VS Hennessy. It's a third of the price.
That's all age. That's all that. All that XO shit is about age. I mean, you know, people.
Yeah.
All that XO shit is about age. All that Añejo, Blanco, Reposado is about age. All of them is just talking about how long they've been sitting in barrels. It really is the same process. Just the longer you sit in the barrel, it becomes more valuable. Like niggas storing your shit, like they charge you a storage fee.
Well, it's additionally like it's. And like wine, when it's in the bottle, it continues to mature in the bottle, but its spirits don't because they've been distilled. If you have your base spirit in oak, a lot of those impurities, they bleed out into the wood. So if something's in wood for 2 years, it's going to have a lot more crap in it, and it's going to be a lot less refined than if it's in wood for 10 or 20 years. That's a big part.
So it's more of a temperature thing. You can't store your, you can't get your own mini barrels and store your own shit because you need a certain temperature, right?
You could. It's just fucking hard. I mean, if you went, if you called up so and so and said, "Hey, I want a barrel," they'll sell it to you. There's companies that you can invest in that are funds, like alternative investment funds where you can buy or participate in a collective purchase of wines and ageable spirits, and you buy the actual cask, remove it from inventory, and it's yours to own, and then you would sell it, you know, as an investment 10 years from now at a 10x, you know, price point.
No Ceilings, GL. My nigga Peter, I'm back from the A. My nigga Peter back in Florida. He was in Atlanta. I got the homie Deuce Mac from the LA Giants. If you fuck with Glasses Malone and you heard any of these Glasses Malone albums that's been out, then you pretty much heard Deuce Mac on half of the LA Giants. What up, Mac?
Deuce Mac got one of the hardest, best microphone voices in the industry. I wish I had a voice like his.
He owed that shit to Newport.
That shit crazy.
You need to cut Newport a check.
Man, Newport didn't do my voice as well, but it was a
Did you know why it works for Deuce? Because Deuce is so fucking harsh on the mic. So it's like, oh, it's perfect. This nigga voice sound like to the way he be talking. He be talking crazy. The shit he be saying, like, okay, it makes sense a nigga would have this voice. And he came crazy because he in such a situation where, you know, living life, life got his stresses, so the nigga need to smoke, but then he don't want to smoke because he need his voice. But then the nigga stressed, so smoking the only thing calm him down. Nigga in a vicious cycle of life.
I've been smoking weed lately, though.
That's you not stop no smoking, baby, your voice is going to sound like Frank Sinatra. Yeah. You're not going to have that cachet no more.
I think they're going to go from Frank Sinatra to Eddie Kendrick from The Temptations.
Man, that's fucked up.
Now, what you said, Pete, we was texting shit. I was like, man, we a pot about it. What was you asking me about?
Oh, we were talking about beats per minute and how that kind of bluesy, sort of like downtrodden, darker, angrier sort of sound out of, you know, Atlanta and Memphis, it has a lower beats per minute than songs that do well in LA. And I was wondering if you thought that some of the fact that so much of LA's culture is New Orleans transplants, there was a significant, you know, jazz footprint in LA for a long time, if there's a relationship in beats per minute and musical culture that pulls from New Orleans that found a foothold in LA rather than necessarily just straight down home, you know, old southern town type of shit.
Like the rest of the South.
Yeah.
So it's hella tricky, right? Because like the West is in a unique position because it's the last place to be developed around the country, right? People came to the East first, South and the East first. The Midwest got developed. South obviously was there. The West kind of adopted its own personality musically, right? Which is funk, right? We adopted that in hip hop. That's our personality, right? But if you think about it, like in correlation to human beings, we're going to have more pop music than anything. It's why rhythmic stations are so big on the West Coast. It's kind of like the middle ground between urban and pop, rhythmic. And we got a ton of rhythmic stations on the West, you know what I mean? But the South kind of has their thing with blues, right? And that's where you get trap, you know, the feel of trap. So it's all of this, like you said, that downtrodden, that down home trodden type of blues that they make in the trap. And more than anything, it's important because the sonics, you know, the sounds are getting richer. They're getting darker. So like the 808 is hitting a lot harder. The frequencies is a lot lower than ever before. You know what I mean? And I think that's where the West is kind of coming up short. Like our sounds was always in the middle. You know what I mean? We had a, when it was the bass, we was doing fine. But as it go into that 808 and it get deeper and darker, the South is having its way with the game. But connecting it to New Orleans, right? Well, Mardi Gras jazz is a bit funky. So if you listen to the like a lot of the hip hop shit, the sauces, the way they be doing their thing, it's kind of that Mardi Gras jazz has a funky feel to it. So that's why the connection is there. It's you know, they jazz is a lot more festive than just regular traditional jazz. Even when they bury somebody when they have a funeral and they had that procession and they walking and they jamming and shit, carrying the casket and shit.
Looks like a good time.
Yeah, for real. You know what I mean? So I think our connection is there. Mardi Gras jazz is really festive and funk music is festive. So we connect at that point.
Sure. But what's the BPMs on like what was the Cash Money BPMs or like that? What was the name of that style that all that came out of?
Yeah. Probably somewhere between their real shit is probably right about 87 and 90. I would have to ask Head, but right off the top of my head, they average is going to be somewhere between 87 and 90. Because they ain't going to have nothing too much slower than 80.
Sure.
But they will have a lot of shit at 100. 100 BPM, 98 BPM. A lot of that Cash Money, those records, like Back That Ass Up is a fast song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of that shit is faster. But, you know, New Orleans always had the cheat code to me because they could kind of go down home trotting like a regular South, but or they could make like this festive thing. And that's why you look at a lot of those Cash Money records that was hella successful. Like Back That Ass Up, like, you know what I mean? Them shit's high as 90 BPM, if I remember correctly. You know what I mean? They shit is jamming like that. It's all a jam. But like when we was in Atlanta, right, and we go see Zaytoven and shit, really what I was looking for Zay was just the bottom. I feel like the West is struggling musically because, right, there's a few things, but definitely our music don't have as much bottom as the rest of the country. Like it gets darker the rest of the country, you know, everywhere you go. And ours would be, you know, hella pop. Everything is kind of in the middle up top. But they working for it. But I definitely think we got to kind of implement more of what's going on down south as far as the sound itself, not the rhythm. Like, we got to keep our rhythm. We got to stay faster because our life ain't as slow as down south. Like, our life is faster.
Yeah, not the style, just the phonics, so to speak. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, Deuce?
I only listen to what I feel like listening to.
Sure. But I don't think we're having a conversation of preference, right? I think what we're talking about is just, because I was explaining to Pete, one of my ideas going down south was to get that deepness of those sounds. Like, them niggas' sounds is dark as fuck. Like, you hear they 808s? They 808s is way darker than ours now.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, in a car, West Coast beats could hit on an 8. You need a 15 for an ATL beat.
There you go. Great point.
Right.
Yeah, you know I mean? And I think we missing some of that bottom. And that's why I said, but I don't think we can slow the music down and make trap. That's the problem. We can't. You know what I mean? And it don't fit our life. And I was explaining
more bass lines.
Yeah, and that's another problem. Like, I think we had this conversation about, I had this conversation with, you know, with the homie about Drake. Like, when Drake music started, like, his tone matches the bass line. So a lot of music started losing the bass line when Drake kind of came about. If you listen to Drake music, you don't really have a ton of bass lines because his octave is the bass line. But it's also weird because, to me, he don't have enough soul to mask not having a bass line. You know what I mean? Like, the shit, sure, the shit he owned, the real texture of his tone. But he is close. So 40... You know, 40 is producer, being, you know, the sonic genius he is, they just got rid of the bass line and start using the 808. Because if his shit is where the bass line is, his tone, where the bass line is, you ever notice he be low right here where the bass is at. So they fill in the whole bottom, right? And then they fill in everything on top. So it's always going to be it's a lot of 808s, kicks, shit like that. But it ain't never a bass line because they feel like it'll clash. And you know who worked like that to me too? Quick. Like, if you notice Quick, a lot of the voices Quick produced are higher because Quick depended on the bass line a lot. So think of AMG, Sugar Free, DJ Quick himself, Second to None. They always had, which is probably the greatest challenge would have been Mossberg, because that would have been the lowest thing he had to deal with as far as tones. High C voices above the bass line. So producing a song full is different. You know what I mean? When you actually produce a full song, it's a spectrum frequency. And I know we're getting hella technical, but it really matters.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
It's like we was up in the Bay and I was listening to a lot of the hyphy records, right? And I was thinking about it. We was talking about it. Then I would compare it to like Rick Rock. And I'm like, it's not full. The frequency rainbow is not all the colors. It's really only... really at the top or at the bottom. And it's a lot of mid that's missing. But then, right, if you go listen to Rick Rock, Ye Area, or a lot of his shit, it's going to have all the mids around even the vocals. So it ain't just 808 and melody. It's still a mid that's going with the melody. And as much as people don't believe that the average everyday person can hear that, they can feel it.
Are there examples off the top of your head of like like, say, Nate Dogg being on tracks that had really robust bass lines where you did get that collision a little bit, or were his songs devoid of it?
That's why they didn't really do it like that. I mean, if you listen to the song Nate did with a shout out to my boy from VA, because it's slipping my mind. I'm getting old. What's the nigga name? I'll be fucking with him all the time. He produced from Virginia. So Bink did I Got Love. You know what I'm saying? Niggas don't really know that. Bink did I Got Love. Bink did off the song with Nate and Corrupt.
Pause.
Girls All Pause.
Girls All Pause and the other one. Oh, that might be Fred. Girls All Pause. He did do Girls All Pause.
All the ones that didn't sound like super G funky, I would imagine.
Yeah, was but on. They were funky in their own regards.
Sure. You can tell they were from out of town.
Honestly, I take that back. I Got Love is Soul. That's Donny Hathaway.
Yeah. I just mean in the sense that.
That's Donny Hathaway.
Yeah, this didn't sound soul. Super LA.
Yeah. He did Girls All Pause for Corrupt. Bing did. He did some a lot of the sounds that song "Streets Is a Mother." Deuce.
Oh yeah, right.
He hard. But I think yeah, you're right. Like there isn't a ton of funky shit with Nate like that. It's usually like things that kind of bleed in the funk, like that Donny Hathaway sample that they used for "I Got Love," where they take the soul, but it had a bass and they kind of made it funky a little bit, but it's not really funky. Warren G, Regulate, which is I keep forgetting, you know what I mean, which is that Blue Eyed Soul that's kind of more jazz than soul.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting. How does the beat go?
Kenny, what's his name, right?
Who
the originally did that song?
Michael McDonald.
Oh, Michael McDonald, that's right. I get him confused with the other
Michael
guy.
Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers. So yeah, like it just gets into this space where, and that's a great point. Like, if you think of the biggest records with Nate, they're not really that funky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even like think about it, right? Like,
Donnie like Nobody Does It Better.
Little Ghetto Boy is Donny Hathaway.
Yeah, the only one that's 40 record was kind of funky.
That's true. Yeah,
and the Battle Cat.
Nah. And Battle Cat, yeah, he is funky as hell. But Battle Cat got an R&B style, so he'll have those melodies going with the bass to where even if you lose the frequency listening to him, Cat'll layer that motherfucking bass line with other keys and shit, so you never lose it.
And Nate was in kind of a higher octave on that song.
He did. Mommy's in made it. I'm so elated.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, my homies faded. You know, no. Yeah. And what's funny is one of the biggest Nate Dogg songs that come to mind too is that Toto song. This is where I want to be.
Oh, yeah.
Riding with my loved ones.
That Shay Shice, whatever it was.
Yeah. That's a Toto song from here. You know, and they kind of had
what
a rock.
What the fuck happened to him?
Shay's still around.
Right.
Shay's still around. I haven't talked to him, but
were there some of those issues on the two-part album that Nate did, like with what was the song? Nobody Does It Better, no, all those ones? Because those songs kind of had that. I don't remember off the top of my head real well. I'm old, but
what's funny is when you think about the way Dre used Nate versus the way Warren used Nate, they use them completely different. Like what's the biggest Nate Dogg Dr. Dre song?
Ain't No Fun, right?
Probably. And that's not even really. Yep. That's probably the biggest one. Yeah. But he used him real sparingly. And that's because Nate wasn't really a funky singer. I never tripped off that. Nate wasn't really a funky singer.
Yeah, it was like more church boy.
Yeah, soul, like Donny Hathaway. That's to me who everything about him gave off. Like even the seriousness of his face all the time. That nigga never smiled in no video, cuz.
No.
A nigga like Donny Hathaway. Donny Hathaway was so dope, bro. They say Donny Hathaway was so concerned with the world, that nigga killed himself. He just like couldn't live no more. That nigga jumped out of a building or something.
Yeah.
And Nate was serious like that. I remember the time Nate came to the studio, cousin. He was the first legend that came to work with me. And he came to the studio and we did a song. J.R. Rodham did the music. I need to talk to J.R. to try to get that song. But it was called Can't Be Faded Part 2. And he was just talking to me. Cuz never smiled. He was hella helpful, bro. But he was like, that nigga never smiled. Cuz like, it was like, yeah, G, you know, I got you, brother. You know, blah, 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 blah. He's talking to me. He's like, yeah, you know, we was chopping it up about some shit. And like, yeah, you know, blah, blah. I was like, the nigga just left, got in the limo and left. I was like, huh. But it worked, cuz, because it lived up to all expectations of Nate Dogg. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nate Dogg, cuz, was serious. That nigga was all business. All business. Funny. I'm about to ask him if the cuz ever smile, like, warn him. Did that nigga ever smile?
He had to laugh, nigga.
When?
Shit, nigga, when they was chilling.
Shit funny about Nate Dogg?
Hey, never smile.
I think I seen that nigga on one of them documentaries bagging on a nigga or something.
But he was even serious then.
Shit, it was funny. He had to smile, bro.
No, Nate Dogg. This nigga serious, girl. There's a little clip with him singing Brown Skin, right? Shout out to Limber, Joseph Lineberg. Joseph did that beat, right?
That was a 213 shit.
Huh?
The 213 album?
No, I think so. I guess it made it there, but I don't remember hearing the song out. Like, I only heard it on YouTube. I don't know what body of work it came out on. But he was singing Brown Skin, right? And it was Warren, cuz they was in there. Brown Skin. It's on YouTube. It's one of my, it's probably top 20 favorite YouTube video. And he was talking shit about niggas. Don't be stealing my riffs. Don't steal. And I'm like, he was serious. And I'm like, this nigga, cuz, never smile. That's, I wonder crazy. Why he was
cuz
so trouble.
Maybe because he was upset that he just couldn't find the right matching beats with a bass line. Just threw him into a permanent funk for years.
It's like, this shit ain't right. But I be thinking about all this shit. So it's like there's a real connection. Like, the West adopted funk. That became our identity. But to me, the music that we really made ourselves, I mean, is more of Sunshine Pop. That was like in the 60s and the 70s. But that music didn't age well, right? So, and it's funny because Toot It Booty is derived from a Sunshine Pop song, a band that's out of Orange County, right? Mm-hmm. The South held on the blues. That's where you get that trappy darkness from. You know what I mean? From the blues riffs. That's how they make their music. And then you can take a group like Outkast, who kind of made this blues funk. Like, nigga, MC8 could rap over all old Outkast instrumentals, and that shit would hit. Because sure. That's how 8 does his thing, right? Same thing. The Midwest adopted R&B. So if you listen to all the rappers, right, you go back to Do or Die, Bone, Twista, it's a melody to that shit. Tech N9ne, Nelly. Notice they all sing, because that's because something about the Midwest and R&B just locked in. Maybe it's Motown, but all them niggas be singing. Even Kanye be singing. Them niggas all figure out a way to sing on a song. Even Eminem, you know what I mean? That nigga be singing and shit. You know what I mean? And that's just the musical identity that the Midwest built off of, R&B. And the East, obviously, is jazz. They celebrate jazz the most. You can't tell them niggas nothing about Premier. They don't celebrate Eric Sermon the same way they celebrate Premier or Pete Rock. Eric Sermon has shit, and I know Eric Sermon shit mattered on the West, so I know it mattered out there. But they don't really celebrate they funky producers or even they R&B producers to me, like the Tone and Polk or the Puffs and all of them. They really hang their hat on the sophistication of the jazz-based sample, right, which is Premier, Pete Rock, and all that other jazz shit, Q-Tip. You know what I mean? That's how they feel they sound is. So we all picked up different parts of music and different parts of the country, like funk, right? The West is with the funk. South is with the blues. The Midwest is with the R&B. And the East Coast is with the jazz. So I think where the South is really reigning supreme is because they got like these frequencies lower and lower and lower than everybody else. And I mean, when you start talking to Zaytoven, you start talking to Mike Will, you start talking to DJ Toon, and them, they're telling you that they going through a lot of shit to get there. Like, they not, it ain't just out that motherfucking Fruity Loops, nigga. Like, it's some shit that they doing down there, like he was telling us, to get to that space to find that lowest frequency. And I think hip-hop is in such a weird space, right? Rest in peace to Nate. But hip-hop is in such a weird space that the ghettos have to combine to really impact the country again. Like, even if you take, like, look at what's going on with a Memphis producer and Sexy Red, a St. Louis artist. You know what I mean? Like, Tay Keith, it worked out there. So I think, you know, I think we got, our ghettos have to combine. And I don't just mean the motherfucking rappers. I mean the musical elements of it. The musical elements. And it's required because people, hip hop has kind of ran his last leg as being this separate entity. And the world's like, eh, whatever. You know what I mean? They get it so fast now. And I think we're at a space to where we got to combine ghetto powers. Like, we got to go down there and fuck with the Southern producers. But that don't mean we need to go down there and try to get them to make trap records. I think them niggas can all produce for the most part. Like, I hit the Beat King in Texas, Beat King from Texas. I'm like, man, he like, I ain't never set my metronome that high. I'm like, set that motherfucker that high, cuz let's do something. Like, that's why I'm pushing a lot of niggas to. Set your metronome to 95, cuz, and give me what you got. Let's see what you got. I hit Fabo. I didn't realize Fabo produced Spaceships on Bankhead, Geeked Up, whatever. I forgot the proper name of the song. I'm like, hey, give me one. I need one of these. You know, I'm hitting Toon, give me the fast shit. I've been hitting P-Rock probably for like a while just to get him. I've been trying to, Eric Sermon know I'm on here. Like, I feel like we got to combine the ghetto sonically to really impact mainstream America again. Because I don't think it could be separate and the music does it anymore. I think it got to be like a visual thing at this point. If it's just like St. Louis, right? If it's, you see Sexy Red, that shit is just like an anomaly. Or you see certain niggas, that's an anomaly in how they look, right? Niggas got all these shit going on. But I think for the music to be as impactful again, it's required that the ghettos combine sonics, like the Atlanta ghetto and the Los Angeles ghetto combine the sonics and really put it together so the world could have something that it's never had.
Sure. Yeah, that only makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of it also is there was a sequence of new cities and regions coming out with new sounds. So it was new. Well, the whole obviously globe got covered, or the U.S. map anyway. There's nowhere else to go. So, yeah, you got to, you know, innovate in a combination kind of fashion. That's the way technologies, even outside of music, tend to usually work.
And I think this is the advantage we have over our predecessors from a different time. It's like we about to make the colossal burger of hip hop. Everybody else just been making pastrami sandwiches, hamburgers, grilled cheese, and shit. Now we.
I think it's been a lot of impossible burgers the last few years.
It is. For real. It's a good comparison. Bullshit.
But the shit that is happening is dope. It is some hamburgers still. Like, the South making good burgers. But I feel like the West make pastrami, and it's time we make colossal burgers, man. We got to put the world on colossal burgers. They ain't had this before.
Yeah, L.A. almost kind of like what the carne asada burger or whatever it
is. Is that a real burger?
I've seen.
That might be.
Yeah, good. I've seen some stuff. Kind of. Yeah, there's some stuff.
You ever had a carne asada burger, dude?
What?
I'm trying to think. There's a burger that I've seen.
You're not meaning like, you talking about like tortas?
No, colosso. No, a carne asada burger.
Nah, you know, like a burger with carne asada added to it.
That might be crazy.
You know they got a burrito in L.A. where it's carne asada and pastrami.
Carne asada pastrami.
Yep.
So I never had
that.
It's chili
this
cheese.
Is what we have to do.
It's chili cheese, pastrami, and carne asada. They call it something too. It got a name to it. I don't know it because I never had it. But I know my dad and my brother had one of them motherfuckers.
What they say about it?
That motherfucker about $20. They said it's fire though.
Nice.
But I ain't never, nigga, carne asada, with chili cheese and pastrami?
That's just crazy.
Nigga, that's right. What I'm going to do this for?
That sound like a heart attack.
I can't even, I don't think of nothing. I can't find a logical reason to eat that shit.
And I think that's what, I think the West was serving
straight
so
up.
Much. And I just think it's time. Like I said, we still, as all of the ghettos, the hip hop is the ghetto, right? So I think the idea is like, okay, we can't do this alone anymore at a major level. Like, right, everybody like, man, we ain't tripping if it's just that. Like, yeah, we'll take it. Like, nobody, like, obviously, let's say the West Coast is just that. You know what I mean? They'll take it, but it won't have the same impact because people spoil by it. Remember, like, when chili cheese fries went through that space where everybody had it too much, and then they threw them pastrami on there and it changed the game and it
fire.
Kicked that shit back in here. And like, man, that chili cheese pastrami, them chili cheese fries with pastrami meat.
You ain't had that yet? You had that, Pete?
Yeah, over on, what's that spot?
Pete, the real motherfucker.
Was it like Tams?
Like Crenshaw and Imperial's got a spot over there on... This guy really good
over there. He's talking about over there on the other side. What's that? You know what he's talking about. They be always talking about that shit.
Crenshaw and Imperial?
Yeah, across
the street. It's like just north. It's between Crenshaw, or it's between Imperial and Central, I believe. Like overall Crenshaw.
That place been there forever. That burger stand that been right there the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Crenshaw.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name.
It's on Crenshaw. But yeah, I think that's just where we at with it, dog. I think we at that space now.
I think that's probably true.
Space now.
Yeah. Hey, this is one spot I'll be fucking with. They grill it, then chop it up.
That's how I did my pastrami all the time. Have them
grill it and chop
my pastrami on the grill.
It's small pieces, but yep. It's all over.
Man, yeah, that'd be better. That would be better.
That's kind of like that top shit that they got in New York.
Oh, the chopped cheese.
Chopped cheese.
Yeah.
Chopped hamburger.
That pastrami up, nigga. That shit. After they grilled it. Oh, yeah, that shit. Because if you run out of pastrami, bro, you don't want this shit. I don't want it no more.
Brawley Hut, cuz. Brawley
Hut. Yeah, that's right.
Brawley Hut.
That's like Inglewood.
Yeah.
That's Inglewood. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
But for sure, you know what I mean? And that kicked in another gear, and I think that's just where we at in hip-hop. You know what I mean? Where it's like, everybody like, yeah, we ain't tripping off that. You know, the white folks, the regular mainstream American white folks, like, yeah, we heard it all. We saw Snoop before. You know, they not tripping off a nigga just being a Crip no more. They like, yeah, we know some cool Crips. We're not impressed.
Right, right.
I mean, they like, we need to see some shit come together. They need the Crip and the Trap to come together.
That's probably
true.
They
need the culture. They need the drill. You know what's funny? I was hitting.
They gonna need you to reenact the burn, my nigga. Ain't nobody seen that.
Really go cook some. Boy, them niggas, boy, they wouldn't even know what to do.
It gotta be a way for us to fabricate it.
Listen, what's crazy is I was on Chop from Chicago, the nigga that one of the main architects of drill.
Young Chop.
Yeah,
big old nigga with the dreads.
Yeah, I used to DM all the time. Like, man, set that metronome up to 96, nigga, see what you get. You know what I mean? Just cook with them sounds that you be cooking. Nigga, I got you.
What'd he say? No?
He was interested. He was like, man, I don't know what it's going to sound like. I'm like, just do it.
Where they shit at, like 80-something?
Hell no. They shit like 60, 59, 63.
Hell, for real?
Yeah. All that don't like and all that shit. That shit's slow.
Yeah.
I've been looking at a lot of the shit that they got going on in all these places, and I really feel like that's the key. Bringing the ghettos together, dog. 66. Don't like it, 66.
Sheesh. 132. 130. Yeah, I was just going to say, so it was more like a 132. Yeah. But it's, damn, yeah.
Yeah. So that's just too far out the round for the West. So I think this is the natural progression, you know what I mean? Bringing the ghettos together. Keeping our rhythm, but getting they sounds and then adding to it. And that's what's dope about having EP around. You know what I mean? Like, that nigga can really, like, I think about, like I told you when I was texting you this morning, like we got a sauce that nobody got right now. And that's because you could take him in the trio click or him and my nigga Kano or blah, 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 and he could do some things and you'll have some that, like, this is L.A. don't sound like nothing that's actually been out there.
Yeah, it's like give us a candy painted Caprice and we go cut that motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We take them big ass wheels off.
Yeah, we gonna cut
some chains on that motherfucker, put some hydraulics. That motherfucker probably that move with that big ass dumb motor. That big ass dumb motor. They put them 540s up in the motherfuckers with them. Yeah, we're gonna take
them with a Cadillac off. Put
some chains on this motherfucker, put some hydraulics in the truck.
They gotta be able to see themselves in it. Too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
It's worked in the other direction. I mean, like, PZ did a song over, obviously, like, Regulate, but I'm Good 3. And then Let Me Ride. He did both those beats on that Detroit kind of sound. So there was successful, like, transferability of styles there to be able to do it in the other direction.
PZ is a Detroit rapper. He tight.
I gotta get my shit together, man. You know, I don't listen.
Nah, you ain't. It ain't nothing. Niggas got to work harder. Even the dope niggas, even a nigga like Peasy got to work harder. And the reason you don't know who he is, because it ain't happened. Like, the sound ain't together yet. It's there. Like, if you hear, you be like, okay, I see why niggas fuck with him. But you
are. I'm using him as an example.
Yeah, why it ain't necessarily where it should be. Like, if you hear it, you be like, okay, yeah, I see. I need to be tightened up in these places.
I'm bad with that, bro. I see new niggas, I don't even click on it.
Yeah, but if it's a dope nigga, you gonna know. Like Travis Scott, you ain't gonna be like, who is that? Like, you know what I mean? You might not know a lot of his songs, but you gonna know.
I can't really name none of his songs, but if something come on, I might know it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I ever really played a Travis Scott song, though, bro.
No, but I don't think that, yeah. I don't think you're supposed to. But I'm saying if you heard a Travis Scott song, you wouldn't turn it off.
Oh, you mean basically I would respect why he where he
be like, oh, I get what it is. Right. I mean, it ain't for me, but I get why it is. Like it's them niggas who shit be finished.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean, like Lil Uzi don't got a lot of finished shit. That's why you ain't gonna know it. Like he got some shit though. Like you'll hear you like, oh, I get it, but it ain't all finished. Travis shit be finished. Everything you J. Cole, right? You know who J. Cole is. That nigga shit finished. Right. I mean, you well, don't hear
the niggas who kind of be trying to MC and shit. I know who they are.
And more than just MC, but literally just be they shit be right. Like even if they like Future, nigga, you gonna know some Future shit. He don't be trying to MC per se, but as a songwriter, the nigga is dope enough to where you gonna hear it and you gonna be like, oh, I get why niggas fuck with him, even if you don't. Right. Like that nigga is still a product of all that Outkast shit, and that nigga's still a musician in there as a record maker, even if you don't necessarily partake in his MC ability.
How old is Future?
Future got to be 40, 41 now.
Okay.
I know I done heard some niggas rap over some beats, and I was like, I mean, I didn't know. I thought it was they song till I heard Future, till I heard it by Future, and I'm like, nigga, that's Future song?
Yeah.
Like, damn, I don't be knowing, bro.
Yeah,
Future shit.
But I know Future. I know Future got some shit though.
As a songwriter, Future.
And I know why they fuck with Future because
that's what I'm saying. Certain niggas you gonna hear, even if you not like. I don't really listen to Future like that, but I'll hear certain songs and I'll be like, oh, I get it. This shit crazy. Like right. Molly Perkins said, like if you listen to that beat with that flute and that 808, you like fucking shit. You ain't right. Fucking with the MC conversation and all of that.
And I didn't know. I think that's the song Mozzie did it over.
Yeah.
And it was Future song. And when I heard Future version, I was like, oh, shit. Like, yeah, this is the
original. Hear them flutes and that 808 that together, that shit just go crazy. So, but again, it go back to that finishing shit on that sonic spectrum, on that frequency spectrum. Niggas having everything. And that's kind of what happened.
So, Pete, was them niggas that was doing all, the Beats by the Pound, was they all New Orleans niggas?
I think I know KL is a New Orleans nigga. KLC is a New Orleans nigga. I think they were. I know KLC is a New Orleans niggas for sure.
And what are in the Dungeon families all ATL?
All Georgia niggas, yep. But I think we just moved past that space. I think hip hop has been around for 40 years now. You know what I mean?
There's so much music coming out that it'd be hard to like, what do we go take from? You know what I mean?
I don't think it's even about taking from it no more. I think at this point it's really just you got to find the niggas that's the bright spots in all of those regions as producers and really get with them. Because I think, or you find some niggas who talented, they got some gifts, but they can't finish because you got to finish. Like, we got Mariano Rivera at this point. We got a nigga, feel me, that even if he don't pitch, like, EP can pitch 9 innings, right? You heard Cancel These Nuts. Like, as a producer, Irvin Pope can produce. But think about how much more legendary he going to be as Mariano Rivera, where he only got to pitch three. Like, listen what he did with This Is L.A. with the trio click. Like, you put him in to pitch the last three innings, it's going to be a shutout.
But I feel what you said because that's kind of how Bad Boy and them did it. Like Dre and them was winning, and then they just came with a feel of us, but put their little twist on it.
Well, if you think about it, like a lot of the ideas everybody talk about when Dre had different niggas working on ideas for his shit, like it might have been Daz probably on the loop or Warren on the loop, and then Dre come in and finish that motherfucker and throw the last three innings.
Right.
You know, and
right.
That's so kind of
it would be cool to take some shit that feel like they shit, but make it our shit.
Well, that's the point, right? I think once you set the metronome up, once you get that motherfucker to 95 BPM, you ain't going to know what it feel like. Like, it's going to have our rhythm, and when EP playing on it, it's going to be like something you ain't never heard. I really believe that.
Right.
It's going to be like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I get it.
You just can't rap at they BPM. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah, we can't flow like them. Because then that's where it fucks us up. I can't stand hearing niggas from New York or California rapping like Chicago or Detroit or whatever. Like, I want to hear niggas sound like they own shit.
It's like a fat girl that wear little girl clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a fat girl that's wearing like halter tops. Like, baby, that ain't.
Yeah. Just stomach everywhere.
Yeah. You don't got to do that. You just can kind of get in your own shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, you don't got to bite them little hoe shit. Go get some fly big girl shit that you putting together. It's like when you see girls that be like too skinny, that be wearing shit that be for thick girls. Like, baby, that is not, you do not got the waist for that.
Yeah. Skinny girls twerking, or if you got to jump 10 times to get in the jeans, they're the wrong jeans. It all fit.
Well, if you got ass.
I don't know. If you got ass, you might have to jump to get in the jeans. Yeah. If you got now, you got front thighs.
But
calves.
At what point are the jeans so tight that it just smushed everything, you can't tell anymore?
Well, that's when the look fucked up in the jeans too.
Yeah.
It looked fucked up when they stuffed and shit. That's when all the fupas and shit start coming out. You know, hey.
G, didn't like back in the day, like Dame Dash used to go get beats, and there's a lot of controversy of how he got some of these beats for Jay-Z, but would get beats for Jay. Was there another person, like if Dame got beat A, was there another person that they would have that would tune them up for Rockefeller, or was he just getting them and Jay was jumping on them?
Well, the thing about Rockefeller that was really smart is they didn't really gamble at first. Like, even when they was making Reasonable Doubt, like, you could hear the blueprint, you could hear the Illmatic blueprint, right? But they went to the guys that fucked with them. And then I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, and they were saying they felt Jay was being commercial, like his first two albums. I'm like, no, Jay is just a better songwriter than Nas, like a record writer. Not like, do you like him as an MC better, but like just writing records, that nigga Jay is nice. Like, that nigga sharp. Like, he understands hooks a lot more, bridges a lot more, transitions a lot more. Now, if it's straight MC MCing and kind of paint the picture, then your preference could be your preference. But just as a sheer
Reasonable Doubt was better than Illmatic.
Who?
Reasonable Doubt was better than Illmatic.
Yeah, but it had Illmatic as the blueprint.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I would agree. I prefer Reasonable Doubt over Illmatic, but I can understand why every other nigga who fuck with him would never say that and it'd be blasphemous. But to your point, nah, Pete, they usually went to the best niggas. Okay. Like, you don't need a finisher if Pharrell is doing it. Or you remember the second album? The first album, they had dope niggas, right? The second album, they start going to Puff and the track masters, they start going to the niggas making records. And the third one, you know what I mean? They went top producers. That's the one thing Jay always had correct. Like, he went to the niggas. He did not play. And it's not enough respect on producers, cuz, but that nigga did not play, man. He went to the guys. Think about it historically.
Is there some sort of, my memory's so shoddy. Like, I thought there was some sort of a backstory on like the Hard Knock Life beat or something like that. Like, who put that together? How did that come together? You know all that
stuff. Was that Trackmasters?
No, that's 45 King.
Oh.
45 King was the same nigga that did Stan too.
Okay.
And they say that the word is, I'm not sure if this is true, but they said Kid Capri was just playing it. He was like, who shit is that? He like, ain't nobody shit, nigga. This 45 King made this, and he was playing instrumental. And that's how Jay got the instrumental.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But that dude passed away, but like his contributions is one of them ones that's special. But think about it. When Jay first started, there was no Rockefeller sound.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, the Rockefeller sound didn't happen to Blueprint. That's when you start getting the Rockefeller sound. So they kind of rode the wave. Forgive me for using that term, but they rode the wave of successful producers for 2, 3, 4 albums. You know what I mean? They did not deviate. They had a quality product. When you hear Reasonable Doubt, Volume 1, all the way to Volume 2. Even when they went to Volume 3 and they got Rick Rock to do, Rock La Familia. Right? But when they got the Blueprint, that's when they start using their in-house, the guys that became the sound that we look at Rockefeller, which is Just Blaze and Kanye West, which kind of was stimulated by Bink in the first place. You know what I mean? So that's where that Rockefeller sound, you know, you talking about 2001. Before that, Jay was just pretty much working with the niggas who already had the right mentality about making music, and they sonics was familiar to the world.
Gotcha.
Dope.
Gotcha.
Dope. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, there's a bit that goes into the all of this, man.
Jay-Z always has some cool shit. I didn't like all his beats, but that nigga always has some quality shit.
Yeah, Jay wasn't gonna never play with the production like other niggas. Yeah, like he didn't play. Like that nigga came right in with the work, and that was it. First album, you know what I mean?
Did RZA ever produce any of them type of niggas?
Huh?
Did RZA ever do anything for them? Like for other motherfuckers outside of like any big notable songs outside of Wu-Tang?
It probably would have been so late. I'm sure he did some, but it'd have been so late.
I mean, think about it.
He was producing 8 or 9 artists.
No, I understand, but I'm just saying it.
Like, I know what you're saying. I'm saying
some shit happened with them. You would think that somebody would reach out and be like, nigga, I need a RZA beat. Even though all his beats wasn't all that, but he had some shit, though. When you go back to this,
weird.
Be like, damn, this different thing wasn't that bad. The rapping part maybe was crazy, but.
So like, I'm looking at volume one, right? This is the second Jay album. Raps.
I can't fucking believe it.
The second Jay album I'm looking at, volume one, is Premier, Teddy Riley, Puff, Prestige, Ski, who was all over the first one, Premier, Stevie J, Prestige, Trackmasters, Tony Pro, Ski. Jazz, yeah. Puff shit, like, you know what I mean? Like, that nigga never played.
He was that using the niggas that was winning.
He was like,
oh, his producer had shit that was winning.
He had a real retailer mentality. He knew a dealer's only as good as his plug.
Good looking out for tuning in to the No Ceilings Podcast. Please do us a favor and subscribe, rate, comment, and share. This episode was recorded right here on the west coast of the USA and produced by my homeboys, A King for the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Yeah.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.